If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey, listen.
No, I thought there was a major problem, but it was a minor problem, and I solved it. I am looking good. I love looking at waveforms as they form. Is that weird?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yes, you're French.
With us today on One Upsmanship is Ryan Pequin, who snipes from afar and makes you feel bad about yourself. Say hey to the people, Ryan.
Hey to the people.
All right, great. I didn't know you'd be so Stephen Wright-ish when we asked you to guess.
God, I'd love that.
But based on three-word phrase, I should have expected it because you're a rye guy.
It's rye, but...
Rye guy. That's my nickname.
I don't know if that's... Is that the tone you'd use to describe that?
I think fry guy would sue you for copyright.
Certainly. So not out in fucking public you wouldn't.
Well, I'll say right out of the gate, there's a few ties for first because I freaking love webcomics. Chris Onstad is a real hero of mine. But three-word phrase is right up there, man. And I know you probably, because I've experienced this, despite finding a fan base who appreciate your work, you probably feel like you're just the guy. Like, you're just yourself, right?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, great. You know you're special. Okay.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because three-word phase is absolutely special. It's an amazing webcomic. Everyone check it out if you know us and don't know it.
Thank you.
And we just found out, can you recap what you're telling us about storyboarding? Because I sort of downplayed inadvertently what a storyboarder is for our audience.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you guys see each other?
Not at all.
No. Okay. Is that necessary?
That's strange. Nice. It's nice that you're peeking over the laptop now.
Is it necessary? No.
Well, since we got the claret, which is roughly 8 inches high, things have changed. Yeah.
Right. It looks like he's like Mr. Oz, but like the Wizard of Oz back there.
Or like Wilson from, that was his name, right?
Yep.
Wilson?
Yep.
Yeah. You're my Wilson now.
Okay, so, my laptop
top
for the audience at home is now the fence between Tool Time Taylor. That was his name, right?
I think so.
Did he always wear that floppy sailor hat? Did he stick with that the whole run?
Wilson or Tim?
Wilson.
I think so.
I don't think so, Adam.
Like the
oh my God. Sorry.
Wow.
Wow. All I remember is that in the final episode they played Green Day's Good Riddance, Wilson showed his face to the audience. And I literally cried.
Did you really?
Wait.
I cried.
He probably had a Ganondorf face. He's probably a monster.
Yes, Good Riddance. I see a look of confusion on your face, Ryan. Good Riddance was also used in the Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Special.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
It was used in every high school graduation for 5 years.
Wow, that's... I expected more from Seinfeld, at least, but I guess not. I just also want to point out your laptop top says Predator on it. So
it really
every
what
time I look over at you,
now?
My anxiety is peaking.
I don't know if this is a show yet.
Yeah, Small Beans fans might like to know, I guess, for the sake of launching Small Beans. I had to return my cracked computer, of course, because we all got laid off.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm speaking out of school. I know I am, but I don't think anything will come of it. Cody kept his.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew it. I saw the tattling in your eyes.
Cody Johnston kept his
cracked sure did.
Laptop valued at upwards of $3,800 and just didn't mention it.
You know what Cody is?
He's street smart.
Cody sees things we don't see.
Well, we all saw that Cracked was being taken over by a shit operation and we were all going to be fired. Mm. Cody's the only one who thought, that means I could keep stuff. But anyway, yes.
It's a wise man.
I bought a cheaper laptop that's marketed at online gamers. But because of that, it's good for video editing. It has the right card and all the RAM. So whenever I start it up, it basically makes the Transformers noise, like the Decepticon noise.
It really
noise.
Does.
Yeah.
It screams at you.
Yeah.
There's no way to turn it off. And red lights light up, and it goes, Predator!
What age is that laptop for, ideally, in your mind?
Probably a 17 to 19-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe a little younger.
Edits a mean video.
15 to 17.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This is a laptop for somebody who just found out about Doom.
Because the things like, I'm masturbating to on it are for a much more seasoned porn watcher.
I'm sure.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure. It's also Predator themed. I'm sure. All your masturbation
no. fodder. Hey, where are we going with this? All right. That's too far.
We're going where you started, buddy.
All right. You might not realize it, but this is one-upsmanship. We've been excited to have Ryan for a long time, so we're silly, I guess.
Yeah.
But we should get into format. Today we are covering, in case you didn't read the title, Ryan, you want to do the honors?
We're doing Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's the one.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. Let's pass our first checkpoint.
If that sincerity didn't do it for you, I don't know what will.
And enter the speed run, which is basically where we quickly explain what the game is to someone who is dumb and has never played it.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you. We usually invite the guests to do it unless they're too chicken shit.
No, right. I can do it.
Also, great. Make sure you make them feel how dumb they are for not knowing what this game is.
Some people, I notice, tackle the plot. Some people tackle the gameplay mechanics.
Yeah.
And either is fine. It's whatever it means to you.
It's a Rorschach, if you will.
Yeah.
You tell us, but it tells you, too. You know?
And then
it tells
you
your story.
A dog's brain in twain.
Yeah, exactly.
But the clock has begun.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I'll point out before I even talk about the game, like I'd never played this game until you asked me if I'd ever played it. So I said, I'll play it.
Love
I played
that.
It as fast as possible. So I played it like it was my job for about a week. I played just through the main game. And now I will attempt to my best to remember. Okay, so you start as you're a little girl and you're like in this tribal community and you're being raised by a father figure. You're part of a tribe that doesn't like you.
Plot. He went with the plot.
Oh, should I not have?
No, don't question yourself.
This game is so plot heavy. I feel like that's like what the whole thing is.
Yeah. Believe in it.
Okay. So the tribe doesn't like you. You don't know why the tribe doesn't like you. It's because you're special, but you don't know why you're special yet. You're a teenager, so you're angsty and you want to prove yourself to the tribe. And they have this competition where you can prove yourself. You do that really, really early in the game, which I thought was surprising. I thought you'd have to do that way later. But you prove yourself, and it's great. And then a bunch of people die. And then you... Also, the world that you live in, all the animals, not all of them, actually. Lots of the animals are robots.
Yeah.
And you don't know why that is.
Yeah.
That's a big point that I probably should have already brought up earlier.
Amazing. Yeah.
And you kill a lot of these robot animals.
You sure do.
That's like the whole point of the game.
Pretty much.
So... you prove yourself, a bunch of people die. You don't know why yet. People get blown up, and your father figure gets murdered horribly, and you're sad about that. And then another robot shows up, and it's, like, tainted, and it's an evil robot.
Oh, no.
And that's terrible, so you're scared of that.
This is so good. I love what you're doing.
For some reason, which I can't exactly recall, your tribe decides to let you go out and figure out what's going on with the rest of the world. And you're like, cool, I'm going to do that. So you go out and do that. Oh, my God. And so that's like the talky portion of the game. And then it becomes less talky after that. And I'm trying to remember. So from there, you find out that the Earth has been... destroyed completely in the past. I'm jumping literally right to the end of the game because I don't remember any of the middle of it.
That makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. True.
Wait. Let him finish. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me finish.
Can I finish?
So jumping to the end, you find out that the Earth was destroyed by a man created war robots. The war robots took over the planet and killed everything on the entire planet. Literally all of life. Not even just human life, all life. And then you had to build... they got a group of scientists. They kidnapped a group of scientists who they later murder. And those scientists create a whole new planet by creating Gaia, who's a robot mother, who terraforms the Earth, recreates it, robot animals appear, and then humans appear, although I can't remember how humans come back. And then with Gaia was an evil robot named Hades, whose job
you're
was...
You're high right now, are you?
I am a little bit, because so this is terrifying. It's so good. There's so much story.
You're killing
Hades
it.
Tries to kill everything on the planet, and you have to kill Hades, who is an evil AI, as well as kill evil another evil tribe who's trying to control Hades, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I think
and
so.
And then you do... And then everything is fine.
That's right, or we're all wrong the same. Stop the clock.
What an excellent speed run.
Amazing.
Let me tell you what I liked about it. I liked the commitment, and it's really unfair to our listeners that they didn't get to see it, because I saw it with my eyes, and like the passion and like the moments of realization, the fist clenching as the details came out.
Then Hades
came. It was quite wonderful. Really enjoyed that immensely. Can I add a couple
so
quick
game.
Things? I know, it's a lot of
games. Go ahead.
It's a third-person action game. It's not really a platformer. It's more in the zone of like Grand Theft Auto, in the sense that it's open world.
Yeah.
And that you
I'd
are...
I'd compare it even more to Far Cry. Yeah.
Yes, except for it's third-person. But yes, sure. Absolutely.
I guess it's Assassin's Creed.
It's primarily...
The Division. That's the good reference.
Yeah, it's primarily a shooter in the sense that you use bows and arrows and traps and stuff.
Grenades, traps.
Yeah, you don't... And there's some inventory management. It's mildly RPG-ish, but not too much.
There's some Witcher, some Far Cry.
A little bit.
Some RPG.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it came out last year in March, almost maybe a week before Breath of the Wild came out, which we all remember because we all forgot this game because of it.
Who's it made by? I remember that being important.
It's a PlayStation exclusive, and it's made by Guerrilla Games.
Who made... Sorry to put you on the spot.
I will have to look that up.
I
will have
to look that
up.
They made a war game before, I think. And they made never made a game anything like this.
Killzone?
Yeah, okay. Killzone.
I was like, people are yelling at us right now.
Killzone is...
Know.
I mean, this is one of the studios that I believe Sony keeps around for exclusive games. Because like every publisher... has a couple of studios that are like, you make games just for us.
You guys play Killzone?
No.
Yeah, I played Shadowfall.
Very rote.
It's okay, yeah.
So I do think this is the most important game they've made thus far, so I'm glad I'm talking about it.
I want to hear your rant about that.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. I've lost track of rails.
It's okay.
Well, yeah, I...
You want to pass that checkpoint?
Yeah. I guess I'll take the first rant since
I think you
my
should.
Brain is warmed up. Yeah. What I was going to say, which fits equally well into the Player One rant...
Yeah.
Is that I thoroughly enjoyed this game despite its flaws. I think it's visually beautiful. I like any game set in like a nature setting, which is a saving grace for me for Far Cry, which I wouldn't care about otherwise. But I'm like, the trees sure are nice. It reminded me of a much better executed version of Far Cry Primal, which was sort of a caveman simulator. Because, I'm also enamored of... Long-time listeners will know I care more about world than gameplay. I think that's becoming... That wasn't clear to me till we did this show, so I'm learning about myself. But I think it is true, and I kind of hate it. Like, I'm ashamed of it. I want to be a gameplay purist. But story can really gloss over a lot of problems for me. And in this game, the idea that, it's the fusion of sci-fi future and caveman past. I've read a few novels in that genre, but it's a very unrepresented subgenre of sci-fi, and I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. The idea of the post-human, like, yes, there's the apocalypse. Only 8,000 humans live. All of society is erased. Nature regrows. Now society rebuilds, so your dungeon is like Grand Central Station and shit. I love that shit. So I was very into it. I do think it invented at least one new gameplay mechanic with the idea that all the monsters you fight have weaknesses related to different parts of their body. It's hard to explain where bits fall off of them that you can use for crafting. I don't think I've ever played a game where the drops and crafting loop was so specific.
It's very specific.
And besides story, that's the only real thing, innovation-wise, I think this game has.
Mm-hmm.
But I... love Ryan's facial expressions, by the way,
just
as
realizing
he comes
you're
up
right.
with expressions. Or like he comes up with reactions, but is too polite to interrupt. Unlike myself.
Unlike me.
Yeah, but I'll wrap it up here.
I liked it. I feel very much like I feel about the new Spider-Man game, which is it's a very promising first entry. The yellow climbing thing is stupid.
I agree with that.
And I'm excited for the promise of this franchise. I think it could be an important franchise. Hmm. And Lieutenant Daniels is in it. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
I feel like you made an interesting point talking about, like, you love...
Player 2 rant begin.
Am I allowed to jump in?
Yeah, it's just your start rant talking? Now. Now it's your rant.
It's okay. Your rant now, baby. Okay, great. So, like, you were talking about you love world and not gameplay as much. And I really love gameplay and I love world. And I feel like this game sits sort of uncomfortably in the middle of those two things where the gameplay's not... quite like sharp enough that you're just gonna get lost in that. Like I was talking to you about Dark Souls, which is like the world building in Dark Souls is amazing, but the gameplay is why I love that game. Like I was saying, when I first started playing Horizon Zero Dawn, I cranked up the difficulty because I thought it would make it more puzzle-like. Like I would have to think my way through the game more than I ended up having to think through it. And you don't really end up doing that. You end up just, I ended up just brute forcing my way through the whole game, like just shooting arrows, one kind of arrow at every enemy, aiming at their weak spots, which I never really realized is kind of the only innovation of the game. And that was like, when I had seen other people play the game, I thought it would be more about setting up traps, setting up situations where you would be able to defeat the enemies and like being, using your brain a bit more. Mm-hmm. And then, but when I realized that it was less that and more just like more traditional, I wanted more just world. I wished, okay, the game starts, when you start, the robots have already been corrupted for a while. So they're, they're aggressive and they attack you and they're like bad.
And the humans in the world were like, yeah, there's monsters around. That's a thing. Yeah.
But as I was playing it, the later I was playing it, I was like, I think you should start in a world where the robots are just animals and you just walk around and you get to appreciate the universe, this new earth full of robots without it being, because you start and you're already killing everything. Like the first thing you do is kill a robot. I'm pretty sure you blow something up. And no, that's not true. But you do it really early in the game.
Yeah, they're and I was thinking like something.
I just wanted to appreciate that planet because it's such an interesting concept. You have this whole new version of Earth that I haven't seen in anything else before, and it was like I wish I didn't have to kill it right from the start. I wanted to just like watch the animals roam around and do their thing.
Yeah, the core sci-fi concept is dope, and that's another thing I want to get to. I actually love Gaia plot. It's cool. But it's not my time. Player 3 has a rant on the tip of their lips.
I think you, the tip of my lips. I think you guys made a lot of great points. I agree with a lot of what you said. This game would have been the best game of any other year than the year it came out, I think. Like, I think it was a really strong game. I don't think it's a very robust game. I think it's fundamentally pretty limited.
Define robust.
By robust, I mean you have kind of one kind of experience for the most part.
Okay, yeah.
You have like a like mild puzzle stuff on the level of Uncharted.
Ryan made me realize there's no real stealth component, and
not
there could be
really.
Easily.
Yeah. And the traps are not great for creating new kinds of experiences. And I believe that Horizon Zero Dawn 2 will be a really interesting game if they go further in that direction. And just like the amount of bow and arrow we have, great. You did great. Now add some other things so that they also matter.
We'll make them effective. Because they seemed ineffective when I played through. Like
compared to
traps, compared to just shooting everything, it was like it didn't matter. Yeah. Especially on the harder
agreed. Expand what else can be done to slay robot tyrannosaurs and, you know, robot gazelles and such. That's one thing. I think I'm coming back at you. I see you remembering it. And I have a fucking arrow ready for your brain. I think that the tribes in this are dumb. I think all the tribes are dumb. I think that they're basically indecipherable from each other. They're like you can't distinguish them really. Like they have names.
I don't remember what they're centered around.
You don't even remember the names
of
them.
Theme or anything.
They do. They do though.
I do remember the names.
The one you come
from. Don't ask me to prove that.
I say Exactly. So wait. I'm going to finish my rant, and then you can start.
Yeah.
So I don't think they matter enough. I don't think they matter enough, especially if you contrast them with a game like Fallout, where groups of people have very distinct differences and a tone and a mission statement. None of that carries in this game, and that's a problem. Except for, I think, the king and his people group are distinct from the Nora, but mildly so.
That's one.
I remember that because I have to, because I'm here with this mic. So I also think that this story is really good, and it's a great, this is a great sort of onion to peel back and a narrative to enjoy for that reason. I don't know why I want a second game narratively. I have no idea why I want that. Like, I think Aloy's cool. I like her story. I like her character. But I also feel like we did it. Trug.
Hooray. And this
isn't
done.
This isn't this is not Mario Brothers, where it's like, I will play that infinitely because it's so fun.
Yeah.
This is a game that bet it all on what a cool concept and narrative we have, and did all this work to make a video game world plotted. Everything from, this is why there's three kinds of sticks you can pick up, to this is why everything's boars or turkeys or fish. There's reasons for all of that
it's
shit,
right? Amazingly well explained. That's how, why it feels like a dense sci-fi story. Because when you get into Gaia's innards, they're like, oh, why are there these kinds of animals? This reason. Like, they really bend over backwards.
And, yeah, but here's,
they did a great job.
Here's my contention.
Uh-huh.
It might be over.
Like, what else is there to know?
That might be it. We might have just had the experience. I know there will be a second game.
Right.
And they set it up.
I will buy it.
Yeah.
I don't think
Hades is not defeated, so there will be a second.
Doesn't matter.
Lieutenant Daniels betrayed us.
I'm going to finish my rant.
Frustrating.
You maniacs who keep. I don't think we need a second game. I think this is a complete experience, and I think it was a very good experience. And that's it.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game on!
Yeah.
I got to throw out first before I forget because my mind is slippery. I just feel like you really bagged on God of War 4 with the, you know, press X to make him do a crazy cinematic where he does a cool action hero move. But isn't that kind of what you're saying Horizon Zero Dawn should add?
I don't remember her bagging on it for that problem. I don't know. I think that there's more to be done creatively with this game. For instance, and I'm not saying it should go this way, but the exact comparison to it that I think is where it could go is Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto. That's an open world where there's all kinds of shit you can do in it. That's where ideally Horizon Zero Dawn could be in 2 and 3.
By the way, Ryan, game on is interrupt at will for the rest of the hour.
Oh, great.
Hour.
Yeah, so great.
Go, hold back.
Cool. It's an open conversation. I believe that this game in its ideal form is not just a hunting game. Like, I believe it's also, you know, and it's not trying to be. Like, it's towns, and it's, like, helping with this world and exploring it and what else is in there. And I don't think it was populated enough to do more than hunt or set traps or, you know, kidnap a fucking bull and ride it.
Right. I didn't feel particularly invested in any of the side stories. It just felt like an excuse to, or a reason to kill 10 of a certain kind of robot.
Exactly.
Although, yeah, the main story feels like that too a lot of the time. Like, I mean,
Red Dead Redemption does too.
Yeah, much early. That's a good point. Yeah.
And also, Red Dead Redemption benefits from something that Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't, which is that when I play Red Dead Redemption, I'm imagining it was kind of like this back then. And that's fun.
It wasn't, so every, but you can imagine.
I know, but like, it's fun to go see a thing that I already have an emotional given value for. Horizon Zero Dawn is starting from, how much do I like the idea that robot dinosaurs are the future past? You know what I mean? Like,
and
like
it's
starting from that.
You have to be willing to accept that with no explanation, which is a pretty weak sci-fi premise, for about 15 hours.
A while, yeah.
Then
yeah.
they explain it, and you're like, actually, this is a strong sci-fi premise. But I bet there were people who were like, this is stupid.
I would
Robot dinosaurs? This is dumb.
They also explain it in a kind of tedious way. Like, okay, I was playing it like a job to get through it so I would know what happened. But at the same time, picking up all the little scraps and reading through, because you're doing that for so much of it
in games,
it takes forever and it's not very engaging. And even like when you're listening to the audio bits, which is like a little less, you know, aggravating, but it's still like every audio thing is like a minute long and explaining some tiny piece of the world, but it all feels like vital to knowing what's going on as well.
It's not
so
as well.
So you can't really skip it.
I think you're right. It's not as well written as the exact equivalent in BioShock, where every line in it is so densely tone specific and you actually do get emotional connection to it.
Right.
This is just like, here's a fucking mammoth wall of bullshit to get the one sentence where it's like, this was a military operation. Okay, cool. Yeah. I got it. Thank you.
Then they took us against our will and it wasn't publicized. Okay, plot point received.
Yeah, right. like I think the thing I love so much about like the new God of War game was how much of the story is just expressed through playing through the game. Yeah. And like the cutscene will be, you know, it explains stuff that you need to know and then you move on to the next section.
I was in love with the myths from the severed head. I loved that.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. But and you don't have to stop to do that. You're not in a different menu doing something, you know, it's just happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
I do think Ryan's hit on like a key point that it's taken us a while to get to, but I wouldn't mind if it derailed the whole hour. That's fine with me.
Sure.
Especially because as a habitual hard player, I have to like bow down. I'm a habitual normal player. So audience should weigh their respect for opinions appropriately. What do you guys think about the fundamental conflict between the idea that video games don't want to be movies because they want to be interactive? They don't want to just be cutscenes. That feels cheap in a way. What the fuck else is there to do? Has someone not thought of the perfect thing yet to advance story other than you find an object, whatever it is, and when you interact with it, audio, text, or video plays out? Like, is there any way for video games to transcend the idea of getting narrative? Is it Half-Life and things like God of War 4? Is that it? Just dialogue in media res or what?
I feel like, well, I mean, this is... It's not a super narrative like driven game, but like the Dark Souls universe I love, because when you play through those games, it gives you nothing except the stuff that you take in yourself.
Yes.
You're given so little exposition and so little like outside information just like forced at you.
Yeah.
But those games, like, you could play through, like, when I played through Dark Souls 3, that was my first Dark Souls game, I ended that game having no idea what had happened, what the characters were, who like, but if you play it again, or if you just pay attention when you're playing through, the lore of those games is actually super deep. It's super rich.
You said that about Super Metroid is kind of that.
I think Super Metroid is a precursor to, like, the Dark Souls and Bloodborne are games where their narrative is obtuse enough that it's like, you don't have to know anything.
Yeah.
Just if you enjoy this loop, have fun for the next 40 hours.
But there is stuff.
But
there.
If you want it, you can figure out what kinds of blood are different fucking
and
things
why.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Our audience just rags on me constantly because I've never played any Dark Souls. They seem too hard for me.
They're not for everybody.
They're like, not that hard like, though. Like.
I think they're kind of challenging.
Our most common comment, I think, is, Swain, you haven't played Dark Souls? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's like it's become a real meme on the Discord. Yeah,
I don't know, the conversation around Dark Souls games being hard is weird to me because it's like they are challenging, but they're challenging to me in the same way that any puzzle game is challenging, where it's like it's about repetition more than it is about being good at video games, which I find to be a dumb argument.
Really,
because
Bloodborne felt very reflex-based.
It is, but it's reflex-based after because dying is such a minimal thing.
Yeah.
You go in and you do it again and again and again until your reflexes are just because you know what's coming.
It's rhythmic.
It's rhythmic, exactly. It's not really like, I have really fast twitch reflexes, so I'm good at this game like an FPS or something like
right.
that. It's like, it doesn't feel like that to me. I'm terrible at FPS
games.
It's like
games, the guy
so
with the hat
them.
Does this attack.
Exactly.
So I do this.
And it takes about this long for that move to come in. And if I go to the right, I'll die. If I go to the left, I don't.
A lot of video games are basically creating that kind of experience for quote unquote end game or advanced users, right? So, like, I know I always bring it up. I don't care. Destiny 2.
I always bring up Breath of the Wild.
In a derogatory way, which is like,
not
why?
Always, half and half.
Most of the time, he does.
Don't give him Breath of the Wild.
I'm giving him coquettish eyes. He's earned them with his wonderful attitude. Okay, so.
Ryan, he's never looked at me like that in all the years I've known him. I'm jealous.
Destiny 2 creates in the raid experience, right? Which is, I think, one of the great end game experiences in video games right now. Basically, you have to learn how each piece of it plays and die
with
a bunch of times.
No help.
That's right. That's the experience that a lot of hardcore gamers, and I'm putting that in quotes, want. They want to have to learn the rhythms of it until they get it perfect, and then the game says, congratulations, you get to move forward now. You know what I mean? Like and that's it. I mean, that's what a lot of gamers want.
Yeah.
I don't like that, although I do like it in Destiny.
You love Destiny.
That's the only
and
game
raids
I like it
especially.
In.
Wow.
It's the only game I like it in.
Raids are like, I can't even
They're
imagine doing a raid over Dark Souls. It's like kids play versus a raid. Are you
I
kidding
can
imagine
me? Doing a D2 raid with no internet help and no one who knows. Imagine just getting six guys.
I also would not do
and
that.
And try to figure it out from scratch.
I've tried.
But for
that.
Us all to be able to do it, someone did that.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I think I think Bungie, see, and this ties back to your original question. Bungie is one of the only companies that cares about, I'm going to make something specific for the elite of gaming. Like, I'm going to make something just for them, right?
That's not the whole game. There's overlap.
Most of the game is for everybody, you know, which is a problem, I would say.
Really? Because I don't do the raids. The only part I like is everything but the raids.
I've never even tried a raid.
I'm saying that Destiny is for everybody is a problem because it means the game that makes it, like the part makes it fun is a little watered down. That's a different issue. The end game stuff and like the higher difficulty stuff, and this goes all the way back to Halo 1, is for like, here's the 1% of gamers. This game's for you.
Yeah.
Like Halo, for instance, when you ratcheted up the difficulty, it was a different experience. Running through than when you do on normal.
Yeah.
It's a cover shooter and it wasn't before. The AI gets smarter. You have less ammo. Like it's a lot more strategic, and it's kind of the gold standard for changing how difficulty makes the game play. You know, not the only one, but it's one of the gold standards.
Minesweeper, my friend.
Sure. Minesweeper is another good...
Great difficulty curve on that.
Why not?
Sucker.
Yeah, my frustration with Horizon Zero Dawn was that ratcheting up the difficulty didn't make it a trickier game. Like, it just made it a more frustrating game because it doesn't...
Yes.
More dino
like,
health.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. It just gives them more health, but your weapons hurt them less. Like,
that's it.
But other than that, it's the exact same fight, the same movesets, the same everything. Hiding doesn't really matter that much. Like, weirdly, I feel that the perfect version of this game is just normal. It's... Or easy, even, maybe. Like, because... If you hit the I feel like the satisfaction of hitting the right shot on a dinosaur and that dinosaur exploding into bits or whatever.
It's wonderful.
It's real.
That's the point of the game. That's what I wanted from the game. And when you do that and you hit it in the perfect spot and nothing happens, or you set up a good trap and it just walks through it and it gets like a tiny bit of health off, it's like, why did I
you
bother?
Son of a bitch.
Like,
what is the point of life?
Right.
Is there is there a time to be killed? Is there a time to be born?
I dive off this cliff, but there's a yellow painted rock below and I would grab it automatically.
Yeah, exactly.
Aloy.
It's a real darkness.
I did find the climbing in this game to be fun, though. It reminded
me...
The
what now?
The climbing in this game.
I hated the climbing
in this game. Not when you're on the yellow bits. The rest of it. Because it turns out this game is very forgiving when you... If you just jump... Like, you can... what's the game? Like, you can Skyrim it. Like a horse. Like, you can jump up
You can. I want to come back to this.
It's not as forgiving as Skyrim or Fallout.
Nowhere near. Fallout and Skyrim are both designed to, like, do whatever you want.
You can hop a few pixels at a time up any surface.
surface, yeah. It's fine.
Horizon Zero Dawn is very much like, do the four things we want you to do.
Yeah.
And like, do it in this gorgeous, mostly navigable, if that's a word.
Unnavigable? Meaning like most of the map
mostly
exists.
Mostly you can go where you want, you know, but mostly, kind of this way.
But know? There's a lot of mountain peaks that are quote unquote too steep and you just don't go there.
I have a wicked little theory that this game is essentially...
A naughty little hypothesis.
This game is essentially a really good demo.
I see that.
It's not really... Like, I know they spent a lot of money on
it. So Spider-Man, by the way.
I agree. Yeah. I've played enough of it that I agree with
that. I haven't played really Spider-Man yet, demo. But it looks
Can't
like
wait
it.
For the franchise to continue, yes. But this is just promise.
I think Sony understands...
Proof of concept.
Yeah, and I think, like everything else, nobody wants to spend the amount of money it takes to make a great experience until they know you're going to buy it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know who can do that? Call of Duty and fucking Grand Theft Auto. Those games are always exactly what they fucking advertise. A lot of these games, like Horizon Zero Dawn, the first installment is like... Isn't this pretty good? Didn't you get a B+ out of this motherfucker?
Won't you buy two? Yeah. That's the real goal.
Two's gonna be. Yeah. Like, I will. We're gonna make it so much more. You'll get a second Aloy, you know, like or whatever.
AAA games, and that bears out if you follow behind the scenes, like business news on the video game side, especially the ones where they're launching a new franchise that's big budget. They'll talk about how the game's not ready yet. The game's not ready yet, and then suddenly it's out. And they'll be like, but number two's already announced. And basically that's code for...
This is, all right, we're doing
it.
We ran
out of money 3/4 the way through building it, but it's good enough that we think you'll be like, this is cool, I'm ready for number two. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything disingenuous about this game in the sense that...
No.
In the way that I would say, Fortnite might be a little disingenuous because it's still in beta.
Oh, they don't give a shit. They're drowning in money, dude.
This is not there's nothing deceptive about this being the first game, but...
But it feels like a first game.
It feels like a first game.
That's okay.
And it feels like a really nice trial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you like it? Great. Because, you know, now we'll make it for real.
And I think Ryan's right that as a trial, the last third becomes almost padding, where you're like,
yeah,
I've experienced all the experiences. Good job having a story that's interesting enough to make me want to get to the end. But there's no new, I'm not going to, in like Super Metroid, classic for SNES even, right. Beats it on this level, they paced out their things very well, where you're like, I'm 3/4 the way through, and yet I got a new item that makes me interact with the rooms in a new way that unlocks new secrets.
It's so good at that.
Whereas Aloy, the whole last third or maybe even half, the plot is what's driving you forward.
Yeah.
You just want to know what happens next. The loop doesn't change.
And it doesn't change. Once you get the tripwires, the game is essentially new. You've got all the, like, you're not going to use that fucking slingshot. Don't tell me you're using the slingshot. Somebody adds me with a slingshot. Bro,
I used it, but for the sheer purpose of variety. Like, yeah. I'd get bored of using stuff and use it to see how it
I
felt
wanted
different.
To use everything in the game.
I tried it. I've tried it all. It was, like, useless, though. Combat. Okay, so I want to talk about your climbing thing. I want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, please
okay, do. Because it's bullshit. The climbing in this is bullshit. And you know how I know it's bullshit? Because I played Breath of the Wild that
came
out
the same year.
5 minutes later. And Breath of the Wild, you can climb anything, and that made it a super great experience. Aloy is way the fuck better than Link as a hero.
Oh, she's a way great better, character, yeah.
Way better character and way more capable and potent.
Human, interesting, engaging.
Especially when you get that fucking slick sci-fi armor, which I got at the end of the game. It's just chilling.
The shimmery
the game-breaking
game
armor?
It breaks the game.
Oh, my God.
I agree.
Yeah, that's easy.
You telling me she can't climb those fucking mountains except for where there's like engraved, painted handholds? Like hand.
Well,
grips?
This is. Yeah. I think we're at a point where that's almost like a laugh track on a sitcom. Like, what the fuck are you doing anymore?
Right. Yeah.
Because even in God of War 4, you would be on a sandbar, and there's a 2-foot hill, and on the other side is an item, and you know the game wants you to do an elaborate like path and puzzles to get to it. You're like, but it's right there.
Let me jump.
I could
on
reach
it.
Out and I'm just grab that.
I'm literally a god. Yeah. I can't. Right. Step over this rock wall.
I could shove this building over to it and walk on that building
to
get it.
I could say, boy, fetch that.
Right.
And he'd be back lickety-split.
I could hurl him at it and then retract him to me like a boomerang.
Right, with the chain?
Yeah, why not? You know,
I don't think there was child abuse laws in that time, so yeah.
I'm certain there weren't. Just looking at how that game
throw your kid, you say bite onto that power up. You wrap your chain around his ankle and yank him back.
Yeah, it's like the leashes that they have now.
Yeah, I just think that I know they're not going to do this, but they need to think of Aloy as being every bit as capable as Link, as any Grand Theft Auto character.
Snake in GTA 5. I guess Big Boss.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Shut up, nerds.
Big Boss. Shalashaska.
That's Ocelot.
I know.
Revolver.
I don't care.
Shalashaska. I don't care. Adamska Ocelot.
They all deserve one fucking name. That's how dumb it is. Shalashaska. Adamska.
Wait, what was... I always forget.
The Revolvester?
No, what's the... What's the name of the final boss in 5? It's terrible.
Skullface.
No. The mech.
Oh, Sahalanthropus. We laughed for an entire day after that. We recorded that episode and then like one whole day of laughter.
Yeah. Gabba like, Gabba, hey, here's our new guest, the Sahalanthropus. Like it's a children's show.
Nobody would call it that. They also wouldn't call it Metal Gear. They'd call it Death Robot or something
that
makes sense.
They'd call it the pussy. If you call it Sahalanthropus, you think a bunch of jarheads fighting and aren't going to call it the Big Pussy in honor of Sopranos.
That seems like what they would say.
Ryan needs to talk more.
Well, he can't when we're putting this shit out in the world.
That's true.
Okay, how do you feel about Aloy climbing or the aptly named Sahalanthropus?
Yeah, either one.
I've never played Metal Gear, so you guys are just doing a little bit for me, which is fun. But the climbing sucks. I hate any games that have forced navigational stuff like that, where you're not playing, you're not doing anything, you're not making any decisions at all. You're just scanning for the next yellow dot and jumping. Like,
right.
You're not doing anything. Does that go back all the way to
games before open world games, or did open world games ruin those old games? You know what I'm getting at?
I don't know.
Because Mario is fully guided. But we don't, I think, hold it to the same standard.
No, but it's not in the same... Because you're at least in control of his body through the entire process of playing as Mario. You're not just sat in one spot and then it's like, press A and you will hop over to this exact other thing.
That's true.
With no possibility of failure or any kind of... Like, you're not actually doing anything.
That's a good point.
You can't fall while climbing.
Right. Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah, that's what makes it feel pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. It's that you lose your capability and your control of the character to execute this other whole game loop that
But that involves risk, I think, is right. Like, Ryan's right that, like, there's no stakes. That's the thing.
Right. It's the same as a QuickTime event, except you can't even fail. It's like if the QuickTime event was just, like, it just sat on the screen until you pressed the button.
I mean, there are some of these situations, like, for instance, in God of War, where they do make the jump puzzle have the consequence of having to do it over
if you fuck
it
up.
Yeah.
But that makes me angrier, not happier. I'm not really? Like, now this is fun.
No, I do like that I die if the restart is easy and there's not a long load screen.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
But also don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say give me a stamina bar and let me figure out how to get to the top. And if I don't figure it out,
I
die.
So you know? Breath of the Wild is the best climbing system
in any game, yeah. That's for sure.
Well, now it's... now.
Why not copy it? You're dumb
just
if you don't copy
it. Just take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because it starts to mean, like, I don't believe this sci-fi world because she can't climb up a 5-foot rock.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play... I can't even remember the title, which is terrible, but someone in the comments hopefully will plug it. It predates Breath of the Wild. There's a black and white indie game. It was 3D, CG. You were post-apocalyptic zombie world, but all the zombies are also dead. And the only mechanic, basically, was this climbing system. So someone stumbled upon it before Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
Like, all you did was climb from this side of the bridge to the other side of the ruined bridge and mark when your stamina's going to run out and, like, take breaks.
That's
and then
interesting.
Keep climbing, yeah.
Sure. I want to get a little bit closer to what is good about the game.
You're right. That was a stupid tangent.
It's not that.
No, it was. Go ahead. Please.
Well, no, you make a good point just in that could make an entire game. You could play a whole game that's just climbing mechanic with a stamina bar because it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
Like that.
It was. There were a series of puzzles, right?
Yeah.
And I think that was a high point of Breath of the Wild, but I do think...
Still let over that sim.
Well, I also want to ask...
Sim really made my day.
Do you guys... Are there any good QuickTime events, or does it always feel... And this was what I was getting at earlier with the narrative and gaming question.
Yeah.
Because this is... I'm ashamed to admit, but like as a fan of video games... My darkest moment of doubt is always, can this medium ever be a truly distinct medium? Because interactivity is distinct and unique and something interesting about this medium as an artistic expression. But how do you advance narrative without relying on media we already have? So, like,
I mean, VR is the place where it will get more, it will answer more clearly the question you're asking, mm-hmm. where narrative will be something closer to how we experience life. Narrative in life.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I want to do that for fun. Or at least I haven't seen the version of it that I want.
Because without narrative guidance, isn't it fucking tedious? Like, is there any way to make it the problem. Not
that's why, like, yeah. for instance, like life. they make a lot of movies or videos now that are called 360 videos, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, you can put on a VR helmet and, like, you experience this thing. But guess what it is? It's a roller coaster. It's always a roller coaster because it has to be, because they're not just going to build, here's an entire universe for you to maybe discover our plot.
Something fun in.
You know what I mean?
But maybe,
like,
not.
Yeah, it's not going to be like that fucking Cat's Leash in Men in Black. You know, like, that's not going to happen. You need to, like, have an experience. Yeah.
To be obvious. Well, yeah.
I mean, every bit of media is, you're led through it, right? Like, right. So why would games not be that way? Like, you know.
Of course.
Well, I guess film relies on music, obviously. It doesn't have to. There are films without score. But I just come from, like, the really analytical school of thinking about media in, like, these dry ways of, like, well, music involves time but not space. Visual art involves space but not time. Film involves time and space. So video games should be something completely different. But what is there that's not taken already? And my short version of that question is, are there any satisfying QuickTime events in gaming?
I would argue,
or does it always feel like, what am I doing? This is just a movie with buttons now.
I would argue that video games need to be more, not different. They need to be additional to those other mediums.
Sure.
Because, like, those other mediums are how we experience narrative in life anyway. Like, for instance, in life, the way that I experience narrative is a thing I read in a book, or a thing a person says to my face, or, like, an act, you know what I mean? So, like,
whereas me, books, I just see enemies everywhere.
And I take out my bow and I sling them in the eye. No, I you know what I mean? So, like, movies and books are just recreating pieces of that for me. And video games are recreating the experience of going to get those narrative pieces for me.
It's just interesting that, I guess, so yeah, so like poetry and prose and journalism all recreate life using this code we've all agreed upon that we just call language. Awesome webcomics, like three-word phrase, recreated in this code that's a whole spectrum that we call visual representative art versus abstract, I guess, would be at the far end of the spectrum where you can't tell what it is. And then, so I feel like, what space do video games have to occupy? But I guess your answer gives me comfort, which is that nothing, unlike paintings, unlike sculpture, unlike poetry, video games are actually trying to mimic what it's like to live your life.
Well, that's the thing is, like,
which is, well, if that's the standard, we're still way far from that being, like, believable.
Imagine you had a really great experience at a museum.
Okay.
Right? You're going to go to a museum and it's going to be great.
I cannot imagine.
Fair enough. Try, though.
I love them.
You should have seen him try. It was beautiful. So to get to a museum, you drive there, you get out of your car, you walk into the museum, you pay the thing, and then you go look at whatever it is. Let's say it's paintings. So the painting is the thing you're going to remember. Right, the painting is where you're going to have the experience that's like, that was a good experience in a museum.
Uh-huh.
A video game is not going to create the painting. A video game is going to create the car ride and the walk to the
painting.
And
the whole museum.
And the looking at the painting.
Yeah.
And those pieces are not the thing that you would get narrative meaning out of usually in life. So the fact that you're doing that work in video games means that they have to find a way to make the car ride and the walking to the museum also meaningful to answer your question.
But you're making me imagine a video game that radically omits time the way film does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any time in GTA you have to do anything tedious, it just cuts to the interesting thing. And yeah. I would love to see that game.
Like, I would love to see what that means. That. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Do I connect to the actions I'm doing, or is it like a fucking schizophrenic nightmare?
Why was this only 8 hours long? I paid $60.
Right. Yeah. That's really it. Is like, video games are trying to find a way to make the walk to the museum interesting.
You know, they're also trying to deliver the painting, but the walk there has to also mean
it's
something.
Usually that someone calls you on your beeper and explains part of the plot while you're walking.
Or like,
that's
you know,
what we've settled on.
Instead
as a
of
culture.
A walk on a walkway, it's in space or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, ooh. And there's shit shooting at you.
Dead Space is so good. Have you played Dead Space, man?
I have not.
It's a fucking
it's
great
excellent.
Game.
Very fun. Especially, I would think, for someone who likes a challenge. And it's not that even that it's that intensely challenging, but it cultivates an atmosphere of dread where the whole time you're like, I'm going to fucking die. If I go around this corner, I'm going to fucking die again.
And it sounds great. It will be ugly when it happens, too. Like, yeah. I won't die in a chill way. I've it's going to be a bummer.
I've seen some very miserable-looking cutscenes from that game, yeah. One involving an eyeball, I seem
to oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll rip your eye out.
Yeah.
They'll rip that shit right
but
out.
But then they have the part where you sit behind a Star Wars-style laser turret and shoot at asteroids for about 25 minutes, it feels like.
I hated that
and
level
they try to make
so
that
much.
Interesting. That's what we're talking
fucking
about.
I fucking hated that level. That level yeah. made me angry.
I guess I like the idea of indie gaming expanding, and I like the idea of short games and games that are cheap so they can afford to be short, because I'm coming to realize that loops are important.
Yeah.
But a lot of 80-hour games could be 40 hours. In the same way, sure. I think a Scorsese movie could always be half an hour shorter.
True.
And it wouldn't hurt it at all. It would be fine.
When you guys play games, I know we've brought this up on the podcast before, but like, is that the only thing you're doing when you're playing
what
this
do you
video
mean,
game? Is
story
that the only,
or killing no, time?
The only thing that you're doing when you're playing this video game is paying attention to the video game? Is that the only thing you're doing at the same time?
I don't usually cut my attention from a game if I'm playing.
So
like,
you're not listening to music?
Are you talking
music?
About like you're having not... music or like looking at your phone? No, I actually don't. I usually just immerse myself right in it.
Okay. What about you?
As opposed to every other piece of media on Earth, which I always have something else going on.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish I could say what Ryan said, but I'm going to be honest. I'm watching King of the Hill or Simpsons on a loop at the same time always.
Right.
What does that
mean?
Are
you absorbing
What
it?
Are you accusing me of?
No, I mean, the reason I'm bringing it up is that, like, because that also tells you what part, like, what you're enjoying and what you're not enjoying
but I'm like
about an experience.
And it's true.
So,
what
like,
happens
if you have music
is,
on, the music of the game isn't quite...
Or you are hoping to supplement the experience of playing the game with either...
Comfort food,
or,
in my
or
case.
Feelings that you like from this music. Like, for instance, when I play Destiny, I'm blasting podcasts all the time.
Yeah, me too.
You know why? Because I don't care about the story of Destiny. I don't care.
And so it's just the game.
But you
the
do care. Loop. You've cared at other times. You mean you don't care about the minute-by-minute experience of absorbing it.
After I've played it once,
but
I don't care.
But you pointed out that, and I'm trying to back up Destiny here.
Sure.
It's surprisingly deep if you look into it, if you do
totally.
Care.
And I have done that.
Oh,
but
you're
I,
done,
but
so
I play...
now you can listen to podcasts.
Right. And I really like that. You know, and video games do kind of offer... that possibility. A lot of these open world games where it's like, hey man,
it's interesting.
You don't need to tune in that much.
I like, wouldn't
just
read a
drive
book
the car and
or
shoot
watch
the guy.
A movie or yeah, I wouldn't split my attention in almost any other media. You
oh,
got
really?
Me.
That's interesting. Yeah,
I wouldn't watch two movies at once. That makes no sense.
I don't know how you
no,
could.
But I'll watch a movie and look at my phone. Or I'll like, you know, if I put something on my laptop or whatever, I'll dick around doing some other thing.
Are you really watching the
movies you've seen before or new
I'm
movies?
I'm not watching it as intently as I could. Like I
But
I've
including
been watching
new movies you want to see, like that you're excited to see?
Sometimes. Sometimes. I mean, it might just be that I'm so used to having my fucking phone in my hand.
I think
hand,
we
but
all
like,
are, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll find myself just getting slightly bored and I'll look at something else and I feel bad about it. I shouldn't
That's
do that.
That's what I was going to say. Follow-up. Do you regret the amount you absorbed from the movie afterward? Are you like, I should have been focusing more?
I was doing it last night. I watched the new Better Call Saul episode and tiny
it's
lull happened
show.
And I was looking at my phone. I was like, what am I doing? And I'm like, but...
That
That's
show defies you to do that, too, because it is a lot
slow
of lulls.
Intentionally
right.
so.
Yeah. So I'm making myself out to be an idiot, like a dullard here,
no.
but like that's...
No.
And
we'll back you up on that.
Yeah, please do. I feel bad about it,
but I
like,
wonder, do you feel bad because society tells you that you're an alien who's isolated from humans if you look at your phone? Because I think we all have that complex in our heads to a degree. Or do you legitimately go like... Dang, I missed valuable material.
No, I think it's more okay. I'm missing out on like the artistry of a TV show that's really good, and I'm not giving it its due by looking away from it.
Well, and that tells me that the floor for what keeps me interested is higher than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because of phones.
Yeah.
Aging too, I think.
Yeah, aging, but also open world games.
I've seen TV before. I that's, can look away.
But it's true, dude. Like, I know people are just a few years younger than me who think Mandy's so fucking great. And I watched and I'm like, it's so transparently. Like, I'm so glad there's this renaissance of Black American and female voices bringing us new shit I haven't seen.
Sure.
And not to, like, slam all white creations. But Mandy and The Revenant and Drive and Keanu and John Wick, I'm like, this is such well-executed versions of a story I've seen a fucking million times. They kill his wife, so he kills everyone who killed his wife. I fucking get it. Like, I need something to think about. Sure. Well, this is all unfolding before me.
Those are the wrong kind of movie for you to watch anyway. Like, I don't watch those movies because they're not interesting to me.
But Mandy, the trailer literally had quotes like, changes the nature of storytelling. And you can understand how that appeals to me as a structuralist who understands the nature of storytelling. And it does not.
Okay.
It has new kinds of shots you've never seen about a guy whose wife gets killed in front of him so he gets revenge on everyone.
Yeah.
But that's all it fucking is.
Fair enough.
Spoiler alert. Retroactively
set dressing and not storytelling.
I just want to finish the thought I was saying. Which
I don't know why I went off on that.
You're fine. It's okay.
It's because I saw it last night.
See, this is all about that coquettish look. He's like trying to get it now. He's trying to earn that shit. RPGs are a dangerous genre for games to make and keep your attention.
Get out of the house
because,
now.
No, because like every single storyline is an offer to the store to the gamer that like, are you interested enough in this to see it all the way through? And we're going to have to give you a variety of story. Otherwise, there's no point in having this side quest.
Mm-hmm.
And that means every RPG is kind of a risky game. You know, because like, is this interesting enough for me to put 100 hours into it? And I can't play Horizon Zero Dawn and podcast. You know why I can't do that? Because I got to read all this fucking dialogue and listen to these people talk, or I don't care.
Yeah.
And then I'm not really enjoying this game.
Do you think Final Fantasy 15 was risky?
I hated that game.
But was it risky financially for them to make? I do think there's a sequel effect where they're going to get their money back.
Yeah, that's a brand that will earn whatever they spend on it. But I didn't think it was good. I
guess you mean first installments, though. That makes sense.
I mean, generally, any RPG that isn't going to sell for sure.
There's also so many open world games that are hybrid RPGs now, though. The line, I think, is becoming really blurred.
Mm-hmm.
RPG used to mean the fighting will be a series of spreadsheets that you select items from.
It used to be Dungeons and Dragons, and it's not
anymore. And then Deus Ex came along, and we're like, RPG can mean any game where you invest points to upgrade your shit.
Yeah. That's
okay. Which is everything. I love that. Yeah, right.
That's okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't mind that.
I think we took the best part of RPGs and melded it into all the other games.
Do you mind if I change subjects slightly?
Well, yeah, we got to hit our final checkpoint soon, so
that's fine. This is the last. I think that Horizon Zero Dawn is one of those rare games where they really need to take take all their structures off in terms of what kinds of weapons you could make. They need to allow you to use all the garbage in the most creative ways you can to create any kind of weapon you can imagine.
Sure.
Garbage bomb.
Well, why not? Everything everybody wears is fucking garbage.
Well, and then it's more problem solving and less just pushing through with the same two things you do the whole game, right?
Everyone's going to be like, no, the arrows are so fun. They are fun, but like, and sure, they can have that as a baseline, but like, I want to see some fool design the Mario Maker of fucking Horizon Zero Dawn guns and
I
stuff.
Guess,
I want to see that.
I don't need to see 32 arrows that all do roughly the same thing with different elemental effects.
Yeah.
They should cause different things to happen.
I agree.
That's like, game designers, if you not learned that yet, if you add like a different kind of ammo, it should affect the enemy in a different way. That's the fun of it.
I felt frustrated by that. I did feel like a surprisingly shallow experience for what I feel like I saw clips of people playing it and doing like surprising, interesting things. But when I played through it, those moments were more rare than I wish they were.
Yeah.
It's mostly hack and slash.
It's mostly like super cool, explode to dinosaur, and you're a badass, brave, inspired.
I did love that shimmery
warrior. And it was
armor.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. There was probably a good hour and a half of like, wow, what a cool murder I just made.
Is this a better game if it's not open world?
I think it should have been not open world.
Ooh,
or
I think
they
it
should
is.
Go for it and make it an open world.
Right. Yeah, right. Like really expand it and have it something you can. Well, I was going to talk about.
I could see either way.
As an open world, it's also there was a thing that I noticed playing through, which is that when you get the map early in the game, the map shows you where everything is. Everything. All the cauldrons, all the interesting points of note. So it's like, I didn't have to explore anything. I just, and you can fast travel. So anytime it was like, oh, I need this thing from this cauldron. Okay, this is the closest thing to that cauldron. I'll go there and then I'll walk 10 feet, walk in and then kill the enemies. But like, and the fun I had was killing the enemies and less the world building because you didn't have to actually interact with any of it. It didn't really matter.
I also think the environments didn't have memorable spaces. So like, when you travel to a place, like sure, some of them
are
snow,
grass,
some of them
fields,
are
stick in my mind.
But you know
what?
They
never
don't
affect
have,
you.
They don't have like a set piece, like you know the
a ruin
the,
or something.
Yeah, Statue of Liberty in Grand Theft Auto, or like or fucking any place.
Oh yeah,
in
if
Fallout
you
or in
upon,
like,
right Wrigley Field, but it's all overgrown.
Yeah, they don't
demolished.
Have.
That
they
would
didn't
be cool.
have that.
Yeah,
right. And like, well, you spent a fuckload of money making a really cool place and didn't make anything cool in it.
And I will say, in you know? At least in like the sci-fi novel world, that's the fun, is having a wizard, a thief, and a,
right.
a barbarian
sure.
in the overgrown subway tunnels of New York. But they don't know it's that, but you know it's that.
Or even just like, like again, I'm sorry to keep doing this, but in Breath of the Wild, every place you go to has a distinct like landmark or something that's like, this is that lake. This is where that one temple is. This is where that weird statue with the broken arms is. You know what I mean? Like, they're just things that are signifiers.
All right, passing our final checkpoint now.
But wait, do you remember any space in Horizon Zero Dawn? Like, do you remember any of the spaces, what they look like or what? Like
the towns, I mean, have like certain characteristics to them. But there was, the spire where you climb up was
that's
interesting.
The one.
Where you get all the information and you learn everything.
Agreed.
I was like, this is interesting, even though a lot of it is climbing. But it was very unique and it was like a singular experience in that game that, that you don't have otherwise because it's a lot of planes and a lot of vistas.
Weirdly, very unique, and yet you climb an almost identical spire in Destiny at one point.
I'm sure that's true. I mean, but every game, like, there's a bunch of games like that.
Yeah. You have the side.
I don't fault it.
You have the horizontal level, so you got to go vertical for one level.
Always a fun twist. Or like, another thing they could have done is just have elemental stuff happen in different areas, and I don't even think there's any of that. Like, I think maybe Aloy, like, shivers if it's cold, but it's like, you don't have to solve any new problems. Like, I guess I keep talking about puzzles, but like maybe
that's
I just
what
love
you
puzzles.
Like better, yeah.
But like, you don't have to make any decisions when you go, where if it's cold, you don't have to wear heavy clothes. If it's hot, you don't have
her
to do.
Her menstruation cycle is linked to the moon in real time, which I think is awesome. I was just trying to derail things so we can pass our final checkpoint because it's about that time. But I think I don't want an answer to this, but I'm going to send this question home with our listeners. Are video games one of the only media, besides some fringe films, where boredom is an important building block? And I don't like boredom in the sense of travel. Because I don't know that any other medium is like, but it would lose something if you didn't walk from here to there. Even in life, I would omit that if I could.
But we made that argument for Grand Theft Auto in particular.
Yeah, but you argued against me, so it's not resolved yet.
No.
Till you agree with me, or we're both dead.
There's going to be no Hegelian dialectic here, my friend. Yeah.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad. Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you go ahead and intro this segment, Adam?
Sure. This is Keep or Delete, where we decide whether this game belongs on the celestial hard drive that encapsulates the best games.
Yes.
We haven't put a number on that. We don't know if aliens are going to find it, but we got to save it anyway.
In case they play it.
In case they play it.
Am I the first to
say? I
don't
know.
Why not? Let him do it. Let him do it.
Oh. Yeah, you do it. I feel kind of bad because I feel like we've been ragging on the game largely through this conversation, but I like the game. I had a fun time playing it. I thought the story was interesting enough that I played through the entire thing. Like, it's different enough from other games that I was engaged with it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think I just wish it was a tighter experience. But yeah, I would absolutely keep it. I really did enjoy it.
Delete.
Not with extreme prejudice, but only because of what we said earlier. I like to keep like the standout one of a franchise, and I'm banking on it was successful enough financially. I think there will be a number two, and I think number two will be better than number one. So I'm banking on keeping number two, and if I'm wrong, I'll regret this decision. But
you
delete
know what?
For now.
I said that this is one of the best games of the year, any
that
other year.
Uh huh.
And as we've talked, I'm like, oh yeah, like this game has so much potential that I don't feel good about keeping it because I didn't realize it. And also, I still believe the story is finished. I still believe that V2 is not going to be interesting.
There's more story in the sense that the bad guy's not beaten yet, but there's not going to be another twist on the magnitude
kind of
the twist.
You played the DLC, though, right?
Yeah.
Which is a different bad guy.
It is. It doesn't resolve. So, like, number two is obviously still coming.
Right. Because
the end of Lieutenant Daniels' betrayal
so you didn't find
is
that,
still coming.
You didn't find the new bad guy satisfying enough to be like, could that have held up a new version of the
It's
game?
Like Adam said, where it's a thing that fits in the world as if Batman were fighting a new villain.
Right.
But I guess when I get a big sci-fi offer, I am in it for the twist. And I think the idea that you're genetically descended from so-and-so, and this is why, and that a marriage of like, this is how the newly primitive people view it in a mythological way. But if you're barely smart, you can figure out this is code for genetic manipulation. This is code for weather control. This is what actually happened. All that magic is not continued because... And I didn't realize this, but Adam made me realize it in the last hour. What else are you going to add?
That's like, the thing.
The
right.
twist is the twist, it and away. It's revealed now.
That's my concern.
That
is
sad.
Like, if I knew there wasn't going to be Horizon Zero Dawn, I would keep this game. Like a two. If I knew there wasn't going to be a two, I would keep it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is a great game. But I know there is going to be one. I've realized over the course of this hour, oh, I kind of want a much bigger or different experience out of this premise.
Right.
But I'm also concerned that
they can't
there isn't any more
story.
Narrative that I care about. At least I don't know how there could be.
Someone can always come in and write a new narrative in the world from scratch that you become re-engaged
in. Or maybe there's an Empire Strikes Back of this.
But I don't
like,
think there's
it
any
more. It deepens a lot.
Yeah, there's no more punchlines.
It's
going to
be a much smaller overall concept that you
can
have
be.
To.
How can it be? And me still
that's
care
what
the
I
same.
Would want, though.
Yeah. Well... I almost wish the first game was just quite a lot smaller now that I'm thinking about it. I wish they told about a fifth of that story.
Yep.
And now, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it made me think like less information, like more just environmental storytelling would have made this game so much more engaging to me personally. Like I wish I'd ended that game and not known
what happened.
Not been told what happened.
They blew their whole wad narratively here.
The twist could have come at the end of two or in the middle of three, frankly.
And there's a part of me that's like, I want to applaud this game for being willing to spool out their story. And maybe we're just short-sighted and like these writers are like,
they've got two
motherfucker,
more beats.
I got a Hades on a Hades. I got an
surprise
Inception-level Hades. And you know what? I'll be there to keep that game. I'll keep the shit out of that game. This one gets deleted.
Oh, shit. So it's 2-1.
All right.
But Ryan plays on hard, so his vote counts double. So that's a tie. No one has been one-upped.
Yeah. I really hope the designers of this game for two just hit a home run. That would make me so happy. Because I'm rooting for this game big time. I'm rooting for it.
And Aloy is a great pro tag.
My favorite in ever.
For a new open world game? Yeah.
Very high. Very high on the protagonist list.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
All righty. That's it for one-upsmanship. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks for having me. Sorry I scrambled so hard in the intro.
Sorry we steamrolled the shit out of our guests. Try telling, or please tell, I beg you to tell, our listeners where they can find out more about your work, and what you're up to right now.
You can go read my webcomic that I haven't updated in 4 years at 3wordphrase.com.
Still hundreds of funny comics.
That's true. And then the show I'm working on right now is called Infinity Train. It's out in 2019, and cool. I think it's going to mess people up.
Is that also a Cartoon Network joint?
It is a Cartoon Network joint, yes.
Great.
That's so cool.
My good friend Owen Dennis is the creator.
And I don't think you rose to the compliment bait I dropped at the beginning of the episode, so I will say that today I learned from Ryan that storyboarding a show, in some cases, we can't speak for all workflows, basically means you write it. So if you look up Ryan, I think a lot of people who are fans like me thought, oh, good for him. He got a storyboarding job. I bet that pays the bills. I can't wait when he gets back to writing. No, the regular show is awesome. And it's awesome in part because Ryan is writing it with his storyboard. So I'm glad your talents are being fully exercised. I was worried that you were storyboarding other people's writing. I'm very pleased.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I appreciate
that's
that.
All.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's no graceful response experience to a compliment of that magnitude.
It's hard to take compliments. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Just I just want one more last thing. I know we're at the end.
But you personally.
Was there ever an outfit based on robot shit in this game that you thought was cool? Was there ever one outfit
all silly.
They're all fucking stupid.
Except the final shimmery game-breaking one. Yeah. That looks cool.
Which is also visually distracting and annoying, though.
It is.
The shimmering bothered me.
But it's a beautiful effect in and of itself. I also, Fallout has this problem the worst. I beg Fallout to, at some point, transcend. I want to upgrade my armor piece by piece over time, but does it have to all look like fucking dog shit?
Yeah.
Like any combination looks bad.
Yeah, does it have to be like retrofuturistic clown
slapped together like ropes. Mad Libs sci-fi?
It really is. It's like the Mad Libs of robot tribalism. Yep. Like that's what this is.
Mad Max, Mad Libs Road. All right. The AC kicked off, making me just realize for the first time that it's been on.
So sorry if you've been hearing the pleasurable room we've been broadcasting this in.
Peace out.
Adios.
Work complete.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.